Support for this episode of the podcast comes from our patrons at Patreon. Head to patreon.com/chasingEarhart to join the chase and become a patron today. On the morning of July 2nd, 1937, Amelia Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, disappeared over the Pacific Ocean without a trace. 80 years later, all over the world, lie scattered pieces of their puzzle, waiting to be put together. Welcome to the Chasing Earhart podcast.
Eventually, you're going to want to drink from the can, right? So. Then I looked at that shoe and wondered, what about the other foot? I have to tie both shoes first, make sure they're loose enough, and slip both feet in. And at the age of 6 years old, I learned the importance of thinking outside the shoe. Think about the last time you said the words, I can't. When we say I can't, we set ourselves up for failure. We start to believe what we say. And persistence means not giving up. It means not using those two words, which I've tried my best to eliminate from my vocabulary. I challenge you to do the same.
Jessica Cox is the master of adaptation. She believes that having the skill of adaptability is the most significant stepping stone to success, and champions the mindset of infinite adaptability to break down perceived barriers. Described as a speaker no one will ever forget, Jessica shows audiences around the globe how success is built on a culture that embraces challenges. She teaches organizations how to develop the skill of adaptability in an evolving world. Born without arms, Jessica is fascinated by the limitless ways the human body can adjust to a variety of circumstances. Jessica has utilized dormant physical traits to adapt and use her feet the way people use their hands. As she learned to conquer physical barriers, she developed mental skills that allowed her to go on to achieve the seemingly impossible. Jessica is best known for becoming the first armless pilot in aviation history. Her achievement earned her a Guinness World Record medal and has been a trending topic on Facebook and featured on TV programs like Fox and Friends, Ellen, Inside Edition, The Oprah Winfrey Network, CNN, CBS Evening News, and the BBC. In episode 27 of the Chasing Earhart podcast, we chat with Jessica about how Amelia Earhart provided an example that helped allow Jessica to overcome obstacles, shatter glass ceilings, and disarm her limits. Jessica, I really want to thank you so much for being part of the show and sitting in on the podcast today. It's an absolute pleasure for us, and I'm excited to have you, and let's get right into it. Now, for the folks out there who may not be familiar with your story or your work, can you tell us a little bit about your professional background and what brought you to this point in your life right now?
Well, when I graduated college, I decided to pursue my career as a motivational speaker, and I didn't have any idea what flying was like. Actually, a fighter pilot came up to me in my first year of speaking, and he asked me if I wanted to go up in a flight. And I'd never been on a flight in a single engine airplane. I'd been on many commercial flights, but never in a small plane before. And so this opportunity seemed irresistible, but I always had this fear of flying. And my dad, though, was right beside me, and he jumped in and said she would love to. And I went up on my first flight in a single engine, and the rest was history. I decided that I would pursue flying whatever it took to become a certified pilot.
And you hold the Guinness World Record for the first person to be certified flying with your feet, correct?
That's correct. I am certified to fly an Aircoop 415C. And this Aircoop does not have rudder pedals. So that's a unique thing about the 1945 Aircoop airplane.
Now, I want to ask you this question because I think it's particularly interesting in your case. But did you have any early recollections of Amelia Earhart when you were growing up? What early memories did you have of maybe learning about her in school or being taught about her that maybe you remember to this day?
I do remember seeing her. I mean, I was exposed to television as a kid, and I had opportunities in school reading through history books and hearing the story of Amelia Earhart.
So there is a term that you've sort of coined, and it's the term is thinking outside the shoe. And I'm hoping that you can tell our listeners what the origin of that statement is and sort of what that means to you personally and the all the countless folks that you serve as the inspiration for.
Well, thinking outside the shoe is a phrase that I coined when I started flight training. It was my first day of flight training, and I had this challenge of figuring out how to buckle myself into a four-point harness. And it sounds like a pretty simple thing for someone with arms and hands, but for me it was somewhat more complex because my legs and feet can only reach so far around my hips and to do all the different straps and things. So I had to figure out a way, and I remember looking down on the floor of this airplane that I was sitting in and seeing my shoes on the floor, and it reminded me of the time that I was in elementary school learning how to tie my shoes on my own. And I had to do something very different because I went to a public school with all the other children where they were able-bodied, they didn't have disabilities, and they were doing things with their hands and fingers. And for me, if I were to use what I consider my hands and fingers, which are my toes and my feet, to tie my laces, it would be nearly impossible to do that with my feet inside the shoe. So I had to keep both feet out of the shoe. And as all the other children learn how to tie their laces with their hands, I was tying my laces with my toes and my feet. And I was doing that with both feet out of the shoe, unlike all the other kids.
Yeah.
And then after tying the bow, I then slipped my foot inside the shoe. And so I coined the phrase, think outside the shoe. Going back to that first day of flight training, I actually buckled that four-point harness while standing on the seat, using my feet to put all the components to this four-point harness together, loosening up the straps, buckling it in place, and then I stood on the seat and slid my body in the harness, and then I was able to use my feet to tighten the straps up that way.
Now, before we get into sort of your aviation career and everything you've done since you've been licensed, there's sort of a reoccurring theme in a lot of our guests, a lot of our young female guests, and I've noticed so far, and that's the fear of flying or the fear of heights. And you were obviously in this group before you attained your license and kind of faced that head on. But I wanted to ask you about fear and just how you sort of faced that fear, how you tackled that, how you got over that to achieve one of your dreams that you've always wanted to do.
Fortunately, I was a daredevil since as far back as I can remember. I mean, I would be the kid who everyone had to say, be careful, Jessica, don't do that. You might get hurt, because I loved doing things like that. I was a daredevil. And
yeah.
I didn't really have many fears, but when it came to flying, this fear of losing contact with the ground, and I don't know why I had it. I mean, it may have been because as a kid, when I was learning to walk as a toddler, the option of holding onto furniture with hands was not something I had. So I would have to essentially make sure that I was very well balanced when I was walking, and if I fell, I would get hurt because I didn't have the arms to prevent myself from hitting my head. And losing contact with the ground was just a fear for as far back as I can remember. And that fear followed me through when it came to this opportunity of flying, the fear of losing contact with the ground once you take off in an airplane.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, obviously our figurehead is Amelia Earhart. And I wanted to sort of bring that back around full circle to you and to your story. Can you talk a little bit about how someone like an Amelia Earhart really kind of resonates and correlates to your story particularly, and how you might have used her example that she set and the obstacles that she had to face back in those times to sort of fuel your desires and fuel your needs and your wants to achieve the dreams that you want to achieve now, especially as it pertains to aviation.
She was definitely and continues to be a role model for so many young girls, for women. And just proving the point that just because you're a woman doesn't mean you should let anything, you should be put into a certain role or a certain mold. You can always do anything you want to do. And she seemed like a really free-spirited person. And I am definitely free-spirited. And I just love her sense of adventure that radiates off her, and just her smile. And that type of person is a role model to any young girl or any woman, I think, just to believe that you can do anything you want, whether it be flying, whether it be, I don't know, becoming an astronaut pilot. There are no limits. And that was such a wonderful example for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great segue into sort of what you're doing right now, which is motivational speaking. And I know it's something you've always wanted to do, but now you're actually doing it. You're very well known for it. You put on some incredible speaking engagements. Can you talk about how that came into your life and when did that sort of become, I guess, the next step for you, in the evolution of your career and what you're doing with your life?
Well, speaking was always something I considered since I was a sophomore in high school. I remember opening up a magazine and seeing a story about another gentleman who was a speaker, and he was sharing his story on stage. And I thought to myself, "Wow, that's a pretty neat job to have." And I did my very first speech as a sophomore in high school, speaking to some seventh graders. I had no idea what kind of impact just sharing my ordinary life would have on these young people, and it was incredible. They told me afterwards how inspired they were, and this was just me sharing about my life. I don't see my life as any different. I happen to not have arms, but
Right.
I just think of this as my norm. This is my normal. And so for me, sharing about my life didn't seem any bit inspirational at all. But for them to know that there's someone out there doing things without arms, it helped them, and I understood that value and decided that even though I was set to become a doctor in college, I changed my major halfway through, studied psychology, and with a minor in communication, graduated and decided I'm going to just pursue this full time, and just decided to go out there and start speaking. And of course, the aviation came across my path as an opportunity. And now I figured I would be able to combine both this overcoming my fear of flying and conquering it by becoming a pilot, and then sharing that from the stage as a message to people that you shouldn't let fear stand in the way of any opportunity.
You know, that's a very interesting parallel that you just brought up because Amelia Earhart was a nurse for wounded World War I soldiers, and she actually entered the pre-med program at Columbia University, but after a year or so, she decided to rejoin her parents who had gotten back together in Los Angeles. But she then sort of fell in love with aviation, and then just a light turned on, and she went a whole new way, and the rest is history. So it's a very interesting parallel from sort of her life and your life and kind of how that works out and how that correlates.
Yes, that is pretty neat. I remember hearing that she was a nurse and had this great opportunity at the Women's Air and Space Museum to see one of her first nursing outfits, and that was pretty incredible to have that experience.
Now, I've watched several of your talks, and there really aren't any words to describe how inspirational and how incredible they are. But I did have a question, in watching you speak to groups, what do you do from a mindset and a kind of morale standpoint? Do you do anything special to prepare to speak to groups, depending on the size of the group? Is it just second nature to you at this point? Take us through that process and what you have to do or kind of what you have to get yourself into mindset-wise to do your motivational speaking.
Well, it's very intimidating, the thought of going out on a stage and having that many people watching you and looking at you and either judging you or wondering what you're going to say, and having all these thoughts go through your head. And one thing I've learned after 12 years of speaking is that being up there on that stage is not about me. It's all about the people in the audience.
Right.
And once I'm able to change that and shift the way I look at the way I'm speaking up there, I realize that whatever it is I say up there, hopefully one person is taking some piece of valuable information or something that inspires them away when they leave for that day. And for me, making that shift from thinking about myself and my nerves and how nervous I am up there and how intimidating it is, and shifting the way I think about it and thinking about, oh, these are audience members who want to hear your story. It's
Right.
okay to make a mistake because it makes you human,
Right.
and makes you more of it resonates with them better. So it's okay to make a mistake here and there, and just to be a human person connecting with them in that type of way. So I was able to understand that, and it's a credible thing to finally have that aha moment and understand that as a speaker.
And that's a natural segue into the next question, and that is, you give some really incredible visual representations and demonstrations in your talks. And I'm wondering, as I'm watching these talks that you give, how important are those visual representations in conveying the message that you want to get across to the people you're speaking to?
Well, I can stand up there and speak to people and tell them all day about how I do things with my feet. I wake up in the morning, I turn the alarm clock off my cell phone with my toes, and I grab a cup of coffee from the coffee maker, and I mix in my creamer and sugar. But I can go on telling them about that, but there's nothing more valuable than actually showing them how I can pop open a soda can with my toes, or how I tie those shoelaces and learned how to think outside the shoe. There's nothing that's more power. I mean, I'm a visual learner myself, so I understand how important that is.
Now, Jessica, another reoccurring sort of theme that we have within Chasing Earhart is fear, and basically folks overcoming fears to achieve their dreams. And you're obviously the living embodiment of someone who did that who continues to do that. And we have a lot of young folks who follow the project and our project members, and they may be in a situation right now where they want to be pilots, or they want to be a doctor, or they want to do something with their life that it just seems insurmountable for whatever reason. And maybe they're letting the fear of failing or the fear of not living up sort of take a little too much control of them achieving their dreams. And I'm wondering if someone from your stature and your standpoint can sort of talk to those folks and tell them what you would say to those folks who are sort of a little scared and a little fearful of maybe not achieving the dreams that they want to achieve.
Well, I love when you brought up the fear of failure. I think that is definitely a common thread, and I think it's just important to shift the way we look at failure, and we look at it as a learning experience. And as long as there is no negativity associated with it, then we're able to, and we're more willing to try things and just do them. I mean, whether it works, whether it doesn't, we've learned something, we've experienced something new, and there is no such thing as failure.
Absolutely, that's very well stated. I can't help but think that this journey you've been on has sort of got to be like a roller coaster of sorts. Can you talk a little bit about some of the high points and some of the low points? I mean, have there been high and low points? I imagine there have been. And can you recall anything specific that you could sort of tell our listeners about?
Oh, there are so many high points and low points, and if there weren't any low points, then there wouldn't be high points. So I think that's important that we do have difficult struggles as well. And so I think back over the years, and it's actually kind of surreal to me just thinking about all the opportunities that not only aviation opened up for me, but being a speaker, being willing to try things. And it's just absolutely incredible. Some of the low moments, take for example, since we're talking about flying, I remember hitting rock bottom about 2 years into flight training and feeling like everyone had given up on this possibility of me becoming a pilot. But I pulled up a picture of an Aircoupe airplane from the 40s, and I put it on the backdrop on my computer. Every morning I woke up and looked at this picture, and I envisioned what it would feel like, what it would look like to be flying this airplane. And through the power of visualization, within months, during that rock bottom time, within months, another airplane became available, another instructor willing to teach me. And three airplanes, three different flight instructors, numerous hours over the course of 3 years in, I was finally able to pursue that flight training and continue to the end to get my certificate.
You have been able to accomplish anything you set your mind to, and it's just been so remarkable to sort of watch that happen and that unfold. I wonder what else is on your list. What else is left for Jessica Cox to accomplish? What do you want to do in addition to everything that you've done so far?
Well, right now I'm pursuing my career as a speaker, and I've also started a nonprofit. And nonprofit is to bring just to help children with limb loss or children who were born without limbs. And it is really a passion for me. And so I'm kind of starting that whole new chapter in my life. I just applied for 501(c) status, and so I'm working on that and working on bringing aviation to some people through the nonprofit as well. Because it inspired me in so many ways that I think it would do the same for others, whether it's a flight, a joyride flight, or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be pursuing a certificate or solo flight. And that's something that just takes up my time as a nonprofit and continuing to pursue my career. And I'm also pursuing other adventures like slacklining, which is essentially like tightrope walking on a thicker strap. And a couple other things. I've worked on a harness that would help me scale rocks or go rock climbing. And those are things that I just continue to fill in during the down times when I'm not speaking.
And, you know, you've really sort of become an inspiration to so many folks out there. And that's now part of your journey, and that's now tied forever to you. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what that particular aspect of your journey means to you personally, that role that you play now is really an inspiration to so many people that are out there that are around you all the time.
I feel like if there's an opportunity to give people hope, why not? I mean, I have this wonderful blessing to be able to, even on a daily basis, when I'm going and walking around the public areas, if I'm at a restaurant eating with my toes or using chopsticks, or if I'm just even opening a doorknob without the use of arms and hands, somehow that gives people hope or inspiration. And for me, I don't think there's enough hope in the world. And if I do it by doing just even small tasks, what a wonderful blessing that is, because there's so much negativity out there, and just to bring hope in any way, I think it's a blessing for me and such an honor to be able to do that in so many ways for so many people.
Okay. So now I want to ask you a question, just completely bluntly. And I think it's important that people hear your answer to this question. What do you think of the phrase, "it can't be done"?
I think you're trying to push my buttons, because when you say that, I automatically turned it into "it can be done," and it's just about being willing to try. The word "can't" doesn't exist.
Yes,
I remember someone telling me what "impossible" means. It actually, if you break up the word, it means "I'm possible."
Absolutely.
And it's just a way of thinking. It's an excuse for giving up and not being persistent. And if we believe we can't do something, we can't. But if we believe we can or we'll try, there's a lot more room for opportunity.
There you go, boys and girls. That is right from someone who absolutely is an authority on that subject. Now, before we get into the end of the show, I wanted to ask you about the book you wrote. You wrote a book called Disarm Your Limits, and it's a fascinating read. And I'm wondering if you can tell our listeners about the book and tell everybody where they can pick it up.
Disarm Your Limits is available on our website, which is jessicacox.com or rightfooted.com. And you can find that book there. And there's also a documentary that was done by, it's an award-winning documentary by Nick Spark. It's called Right Footed. And you can find that on Amazon as well. So I hope that if you'd like to find out more information about me, you can visit my website, jessicacox.com, or get a book there, or go on Amazon and purchase the documentary Right Footed by Nick Spark. And he did a phenomenal job with that.
Jessica, this has been an absolute privilege for me and for our listeners, and I want to thank you so much. I know you have a lot going on. You have a really tight schedule. So thank you for carving out some time for us, and thank you for sitting in on the podcast, and most importantly, for being a project guest of Chasing Your Heart. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you so much, and good luck with your work.
I'm Chris Williamson, and you've been listening to the Chasing Earhart podcast. You can follow the project on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook using the handle @ChasingEarhart. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join us next week when we sit down with project guest and Rockwell Collins engineer, Tom Vinson. Thanks for listening.